I don't really know what I'm doing here, doing an odyssey. An odyssey is an adventurous trip. And unlike Hamlet, who knew a hawk from a handsaw, I wouldn't know an adventure from an adenoid. I ain't been nowhere. Ain't going now. I just been. And everywhere that I've been was always only here. It was as if they came along, picked me up, and put me down right where I was before, and then passed on to wherever it is they go. And then I would look in the mirror, and I would see how they had marked me, and how time had passed, but I'd be right where I always been. I have never had a sense that I have moved, just that they did. He was one of them. I remember him conspiratorially putting two light bulbs in the front of my shirt and showing me to her, and they laughed. No, I didn't know what was funny because I was three, but I liked the laughter. I took a neighbor's BB gun when I was five, and I killed a sparrow. And when he came home, I proudly pulled him by the hand out into the yard to see. And he saw, and he shamed me. When I was a little boy on the farm, he'd say to me, my father gave me a little lamb of my very own, and I took care of my lamb. Every morning I would tie it out so it could graze, and every night I would put it in the barn. I was very careful. But finally it grew into a big sheep, and I got careless, and one night I forgot to put him in the barn, and it rained. And when I went out the next morning, I discovered that my sheep had shrunk down to a lamb again, and I had to raise him all over. He'd show me the stars and point out constellations, Orion, Ursa Major, the Pleiades. Once, when the leaves were too thick on the apple tree, he climbed up on the picnic table to point out something wonderful in the sky. See there, see up there? And he walked right off the end of the table. And always laughter and jokes and love of the language and praise for puns. She was one of them, and she was different, tougher, stronger, more organized than he. If he lived inside the world of words and wit and wonders, she lived outside with people in a world of work and works. She did justly, loved mercy, and walked at a right good clip with her God, and God had jolly well better keep up. Whining would get you nowhere, as both God and I discovered. She brought order out of chaos, plans out of apathy, ambition out of idleness, beauty out of plainness, and she put duty where indifference would otherwise have been. And all around she instigated a riot of flowers where only grass would have grown, and the flowers grew, and the flowers blossomed, and wouldn't have dared to do otherwise. And sometimes, exasperatedly, she would turn to him and say, speak to your son. And he'd turn and say, hello, son. I was 18, I guess, before anyone told me that women were weak. And then it was only hearsay. I also watched them cry together, holding dead children on their laps. Two times I watched them hold their dead child between them. But at all times they held their live child between them, then and now. His father was another one of them. Quiet as the ground, like the ground, smelling of earth and hay and cows, with a slow smile like a small surprise. He was gentle as lamplight, patient as a year, a gray, weathered barn of a man, silent, solid, stoic, walking as silent and solid as the soil itself, up and down the land, furrow to furrow, field to field, stopping only to crush a potato bug between the big calloused fingers of big calloused hands as matter-of-factly as time. Or stopping to pick a duchess off an August tree and bite a mouthful of it in sudden celebration of what he and the tree had done in common. Or observing his unchurched Sabbath with a once-a-week cigar sticking upright out of his everyday pipe, an exclamation mark in the otherwise unpunctuated life of a side hill farmer walking a Sunday visit on the soil that had made him in its own image. A quiet, quiet man who would sometimes, rarely, erupt in a bark of a laugh like the time driving to town. He chewed, only out of doors, only out of her sight. And he had worked a cheekful of red man for several miles and had to spit. So he turned to the open window of the Model A and spit that accumulation of tobacco juice expertly all over the inside of the window that wasn't down. And he laughed at the only thing worth laughing at, himself. And many times he would take me on his lap, put his huge, hard farm hands around me and rock and sing in a tuneless monotone, 40 froggies went to school down beside the rushy pool. But mostly he worked the land and walked the land until he became a literal portion of the land and made it holy. She was also one of them, and she was different. She had married him, son of an Irish immigrant, at 16, a WASP girl. And at the wedding, when her new father-in-law, looking over the crowd of Cootses, turned to her and said, as if it were a commandment from the heights of County Cavan, "Sure, and the Cootses are a fertile race." In time, she had children, just three, a self-confident token, and then went her own good way. In a time when good wives were quiet wives in tidy houses and busy kitchens, she talked constantly and cooked just tolerable. Clad in baggy pants, a shirt waist, and a sunbonnet, she'd hunt wild berries in their season, as much to avoid the house as to get the berries. And she prized her carpentry tools more than her kitchen utensils. And she had magic in her mind. She taught me where the wild mint grew and how to chew the leaves without swallowing, so that when you took a sip of water, a mint drink ran around your mouth. She could make little baskets out of burdock blossoms, animals out of milkweed pods, and arrows from old shingles. She showed me how to harness kittens to little homemade wagons with can-lid wheels, how to chew bull thistle blossoms until you could spit tobacco juice, and how to dry and smoke corn silk. And she once recovered my kite with clear cellophane so that it disappeared up 50 feet, but would flash in the sun from time to time like a son of my own on a string in my hand. Because I was the first kid ever made out of pipe cleaners, she was convinced that sunlight would make me heavier. And so she conned me into being an Indian. She made me a breech clout, a headband with chicken feathers, a bow and arrow, and moccasins made from an old inner tube, and sent me out to stalk health and happiness. When that didn't work, she convinced me that real Indians didn't wear all that stuff and sent me out clad only in bow and arrow and rubber moccasins. When the rural mail carrier came by and saw me, Right then and there, I called a screeching halt to her aboriginal sun cure. There were other things as well as people. Small town things and country things, like horse chestnuts, warm and friendly in the palm of the hand. Touching touch-me-nots. Finding fossils. Watching hawks slide down the air. Playing hide-and-seek and kick the can and screaming for the pure joy of it on quiet streets that were like tunnels under elms. And pulling the sled home in the dark, cold with wet mittens and crying all the way. There was writing love on sidewalks with stolen chalk. Learning to fight with words because skinny kids can't win otherwise. And finally learning not just to fight, but to fly words like kites that sometimes flash in the sun on the string of consciousness. And more. Somewhere in the being, when enough had passed and picked me up and put me down, somewhere, somewhen, I can't recall, the child was no longer where I was and where I'd always been. But there were new loves that we needn't write on sidewalks, and other games on summer nights, and eventually other kinds of winter nights, pulling the sled, the goddamn sled, in the cold, crying. But in my winter, as in all winters, a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and his name shall be Wonderful. Three times he was born, three times he was given, and three times he and I conspired to make a joke, love lightning in the ways of words, see stars and laugh mostly at ourselves. Three times we learned the hard, hard why of justice and the narrow way of the work that works. How to walk on the land like Abraham and feel the promise of it through the soles of our feet. To know the temper of good tools and the use of wood, to make wonder out of milkweed pods. Three times he was born to me, three times given, and three times gone, with time that left me men where sons once were. Where there are grandparents, they shall pass away. Where there are parents, they shall cease. Where there are sons, they shall grow away. But love never dies. Love is patient and kind. Love abides. The ministry? The minister is the adult who is the child, who is the father's and mother's. World without end. There's nothing else to be except what has been. Nothing else to preach except what was heard. Nothing else to give another except what was given from the fathers and the mothers to the child, to the man. So I have preached the good news of the land and lightning and laughter, the shame of killing and the need of it where potatoes grow, and the difference between the two. I've led the singing of monotones in a monotone, and spit on the window I thought was down, and walked off the end of the table trying to show them the stars. I've held the dead and the living in hands too often calloused, and have learned that even when kite words fly and flash, they're just little sticks in cellophane. But some who heard have understood. And sometimes one would stop and say he'd caught a glimpse of mint along the country creek, as I had said. And now and then I'd see someone dare to hold some hard brown kernel warm and friendly in the palm, or call the thunder good. And sometimes, just because they did, I could. And sometimes, I still can.